There's a lot that you can't know until you actually start doing it. So like you can prepare as much as you want, but until you are a business owner and you're dealing with things on a day-to-day basis, there's no way to anticipate what you're going to need to know or those lessons that you're going to need to learn. And you just figure it out along the way.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into the Millionaire Mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. No doubt, marketing and PR is such an important aspect to your business, especially as a startup, as a founder, and really any business for that matter. And our guest today, this is exactly what she specializes in and what she's built her business around. So not only does she have experience growing a business herself, but she helps others do the same through the marketing and the public relations side of things. So super excited to get into our podcast episode today with our special guest, Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So Jennifer, take a few minutes and just share with our listener a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I am the founder and CEO of Adler Public Relations. We are actually celebrating our 5-year anniversary this March. So next month. So crazy that it's already been 5 years. I feel like time flies.
It's probably been a blur, huh?
Yeah, such a blur. But we really specialize in business to consumer public relations. We've kind of hung our hat on being like a lifestyle and luxury PR firm. So we represent a lot of restaurants, retail, real estate. That's a whole nother story about real estate in a past life, but have a passion for real estate. So we do a lot of that. And yeah, so that's kind of a little bit about us, where we play.
Awesome. And we're going to get into this, but did you ever think 20, 30 years ago that this is what you would be doing?
No, I actually never even had the ambition to go into public relations in general. I didn't really know what I wanted to do growing up. I went down the path of being pre-law in college, really liked the communications aspect of things. I actually majored in English at UCLA. And so that, funny enough, has actually served me very well in my career because I'm an excellent writer, which I use every single day, and really learned how to communicate effectively during my time at school. But yeah, no, I never thought that I would end up in PR. It just kind of happened, happenstance. So funny how life works out that way.
Yeah, it's incredible how that works. So when would you say this entrepreneur journey really began for you?
I don't know. It's interesting. Growing up, my dad always owned his own business. So I had that as an example. He owned a printing company, a commercial printing company for about 20 years when I was a kid. And he really instilled in me like effort equals results. My dad's super ambitious. I always like grew up seeing him as a business owner and understanding if he couldn't be at something, it's because he was working. And so I did have that example, but I wouldn't say like overtly aspired to be a business owner from the start. When I initially got into PR, I always worked at full service advertising agencies. It's kind of an interesting story how I got into it, moving from California to Arizona. I initially worked in real estate because it was 2005 and the real estate market was booming, as I'm sure you probably remember, and everyone and their mother was hiring for a real estate job at the time. So I initially worked for a real estate development company. And when the market crashed in 2008, I really evaluated like, what do I want to do with my life? And like, what's interesting to me? Like I said, planned to go to law school. I had taken some time off in between college and going to law school and kind of got some work experience and honestly just kind of fell into working in PR. I got a job as a PR account manager at an agency that no longer exists here in Scottsdale, who had a lot of real estate clients at the time. So it was a really good transition coming from the development space and then representing a lot of developers. So that's kind of how I got my start in PR. And many, many years later, 3 or 4 agencies later, I was just at a point in my life where I'm like, why am I doing this for someone else when I could be doing it for myself? And I'd always worked in the full service advertising agency arena and just kind of had a lot of frustrations with that format, which we can get into a little bit later. But I just kind of used that as the impetus to make the leap and start my own thing and do things my way.
So with this public relations side of things, it sounds like this is something that you just kind of stumbled into, but obviously you're energized by it or you want to keep doing it. So what is it about the public relations side of things that just energizes you and keeps you coming and growing every day?
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like it's funny how your life, when you look back, it's like everything kind of led me to where I am now. And it's really like the perfect profession for me. Like I said, I use a lot of what I was trained to do in school with writing and reading and communicating effectively. And I love just really helping businesses and making an impact on them and helping them get the recognition that they deserve, the publicity that they deserve, and ultimately help impact their bottom line. So that's really what I love about it. And just storytelling, I think at the heart of it, is really key, being able to share someone's story. A lot of times business owners are so close to their own business, they don't even realize the stories that they have to tell or like what could make it newsworthy or things that potentially the public would like to know about. And that's really where I come in with that eye and help them identify, like, you have this really cool story, like we should tell it and here's how we should package it. And this is why it's interesting and how it could potentially positively impact your business.
And stories are huge when it comes to influence and persuasion and just helping people understand who you are as a business owner and as a company. People are intrigued by stories. And it's what I would consider a pretty well-known concept within the sales and marketing world. But to your point, there's so many people that I think are so head down in their business, they don't think they have a story. And it's interesting you bring this up because just yesterday, I did just a short little social media post that I threw up on Facebook and LinkedIn, basically saying like, you have a story. Everyone has a story. The good, the bad, the ugly, even if it's a lot of bad things that have happened, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. And I believe that one of the most selfish things you can do is not share it.
Yep.
Because there are people that you can impact through the experiences, good or bad, that you've gone through that need to hear your story.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that there's so much to be learned from experience sharing. And I meet so many business owners that are either too close to their business or too busy, but more so it's almost like too humble. Like they sometimes think like, oh, I don't want to be boastful. Or maybe they're doing a lot of really good things in the community, but they're not doing it for the exposure or, you know, the pat on the back, which I completely appreciate. But it's the storytelling aspect of it and like the why behind it that I think people really care about and connect with. And that's kind of where me and my company come in of, like I said, helping get people's stories out there.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because I agree with you. I think a lot of successful business owners and people in general, just they don't want to come across as bragging or look at me, look what I've done. But there's still a lot of value that they can offer through sharing their stories. So what are some ways that you're able to connect with these business owners and even to our listeners that are listening to this right now that might feel similar in that sense? How do you connect with them? What advice could you share with them to become more comfortable or maybe have a little bit of a mindset shift to actually sharing their story?
Yeah, I think it's basically just helping them understand the why of like why it's important to share their story and also like what positive impact it can have on their own business and bottom line when they do so. And just it's a way to connect with people. So especially their target customer really allows them to connect with them in a more effective way. So I think it's kind of twofold. It's helping them understand maybe the story that they do have to tell and then helping them understand the impact of that. So a lot of times we represent a very diverse group of clients. Everything from like a small individual retail store where it's like an individual proprietor all the way up to like a big corporation. And they have different stories, obviously, but at the end of the day, it's the community impact and the relationship. And so like we represent like real estate developers and big construction companies. And one of them just celebrated their centennial, their 100-year anniversary, which is obviously a huge, huge milestone. And they do a ton. They do a charity golf tournament and they donate a ton to Fighter Country through Luke Air Force Base. And so helping them kind of package that up as far as like the community impact that they've made here in Phoenix, that's one aspect of it. And then we represent like a smaller retail store that sells antiques and he has really cool pieces that have like awesome Arizona stories attached to them. Like he has a piece from the McCormick Railroad that the Stillman family, he has pieces in his store like that, or pieces that were in Mary Elaine's back at the Phoenician back in the day. And being able to kind of tell those stories about those pieces is really cool too. So it runs the gamut from very small, like retail, all the way up to very large corporate. But storytelling is like the common thread, I guess.
Is there much diversity or variety in the stories for a big corporation versus a small brick and mortar store?
I mean, a little bit. Obviously, the impact is a lot larger when you're working with big corporations and big corporate budgets. But I think figuring out the human side of it and like how it's really like a lot of times it's more impactful to talk about the money that rather than you've given so much to St. Mary's Food Bank, like what has that money enabled through that donation? Like how much food insecurity are you helping solve in Phoenix? Is there a specific story that you can attach to it with a specific family that's really benefited from it that's on hard times? Anytime you can really talk about the human element is the most impactful, I think.
So it sounds like you're almost peeling the layers of the onion, but kind of taking it a level further rather than just saying, hey, it's great that you're giving, but right. There's more. Like, what's the actual impact that's doing? And that's what you strategize and help with these companies to uncover. And
yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So for those people that are truly just like, maybe they're just super reserved and they don't want to share it, what's the one thing you could share with them to help them get through that?
I think just to get started, it gets easier the more you do it. It's like anything. The first time that you public speak, it's obviously like terrifying, but the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. The first podcast you're ever on, it's obviously intimidating. It's just a matter of starting. And I think you can start small and there's a tasteful way. And that's kind of where hiring a firm like ours comes in. Like, we don't want to ever make anyone feel uncomfortable or do something that is not in line with their brand, but we really counsel our clients on like the best way to message something and make sure it's not coming across with ego or boastfulness. And it's really about the impact that it's made and how the brand has enabled that.
One thought I've always had, because I sometimes struggle with this as well. Like there's times I'm getting ready to share something and I choose not to for that exact reason. And something I've gotten better about is realizing that there's always going to be negativity. There's always going to be someone that's like, oh, well, why are you sharing that? You're just bragging about it. But I'm not sharing it for those people and I'm not sharing it for those reasons. I understand and recognize that there is going to be someone or a few people that hear or see that story, see that post or whatever it is that I shared that will make a positive impact. Those are the ones that I'm concerned about. Those are the ones that I'm hoping to influence and persuade in any way I can. So that's something that's really helped me is just acknowledge that, yeah, there's going to be negative people out there that are probably going to say things that you're afraid people are going to say, but there's going to be those ones that you truly are going to impact. And I think just keep that focus on, to your point, your why and who you're truly trying to serve. And that should hopefully give you enough courage and confidence to get your story out there.
Yeah. And another thing that we counsel our clients on is like just being part of the conversation. Like, if you're not doing it, many of your competitors are. And if you're not putting your story out there and you're not sharing, it doesn't even have to be about community impact. It could be about anything, a significant project that you're working on or something that's impacting the community, a new opening, whatever it may be. If you're not pushing that news out there, your competitors are, and you're losing the market share to them. So just being part of the conversation, I think, is key.
Yeah. And you could do it in a tasteful way, to your point. That doesn't 100%. Come across as boastful and bragging. So super neat. Well, I want to pivot here. You mentioned a few minutes back about you had your own frustrations with the full service advertising type of industry. So share with our listeners and myself a little bit more about what some of those frustrations were, because that's ultimately what led you to starting your current business.
Yeah, it really is. So like I said, I've always kind of worked in the full service advertising agency model. That's really where I cut my teeth and learned the PR business. And so no disrespect to any of the full service agencies out there. It's just a very different model than I'm creating now. But the way a full service agency works is this more integrated model where there's different disciplines. So everything kind of under one roof. And all the agencies that I've worked at have been fairly large. So there's PR, there's social media, there's digital, there's creative, there's video production, like all the things that you can imagine that kind of fall under that ad agency services. And I've always been on the PR side. Typically, there's an account management group of people who are sort of the go-between between the clients and the different service providers. And that is a very frustrating experience for me at every single agency where I've worked. Not that I didn't have direct client contact, because I did, but I was more brought into the strategic meetings with the clients or to sell the business. But day to day, they're communicating typically with an account manager who then brings whatever that conversation is back to the people who are actually doing the work. And I found that a lot of time is taken up in that process and a lot is lost in translation. And a lot of recommendations are given in many cases by very junior account managers that are not necessarily what the experts in those verticals would recommend. So I spent half of my time in agency life being like, wait, you told the client what? No, we wouldn't recommend doing a press release about that. And then doing damage control and going back and having to kind of backtrack. And so really, when I started my firm, I wanted clients to have direct access to us, the PR experts, and not feel like they had to go through a junior account manager. That's a game of telephone. And so that's really the value proposition that we provide to our clients is direct access to us, the experts, our expertise and seniority. You're not working with a junior account team member or an intern in some cases. You're really getting what you pay for. And with that comes a lot of strategy and expertise and making really solid recommendations that are based in data and not just throwing something at the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. At this point, you can now maintain control of that experience.
Yes.
And for business owners, for entrepreneurs, that becomes a big part of it. We tend to become control freaks, whether it's for the better or for the worse, but it's usually because we recognize a need, recognize an opportunity, and we know and we feel that we can improve that experience. Even if it's just by a few degrees, we know that we can do that. And that's where a lot of these ideas and opportunities stem from. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I want to talk about what some of the difficulties were in that transition, because you left a corporate world, if you will, and then came off on your own. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I think the fear of that is what prevents a lot of people from taking that leap of faith. So when we come back, I want to talk about your personal experience with that transition, leaving the W-2 corporate world to becoming your own boss.
Sure.
All right. We'll be right back. Hey folks, I got my good friend Julie Holly here to share with you something exciting she has coming up here in a few weeks that I myself will be participating in. And I was actually able to talk my wife into joining me as well. So super excited for it coming up. But Julie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your event you have coming up.
Awesome. The Conscious Investor Growth Summit is coming up and it is really the charcuterie of all events. Instead of drilling down into one isolated topic or asset class like self-storage, multifamily, crypto, you know, whatever, mindset, health, we're wrapping it all in one. And this is a powerful opportunity for you to like just nourish and replenish. And to Dallin's point, bring your spouse, bring your partner along. We're talking about everything from tax strategies, building credit, buying businesses, investing in assisted living facilities and other real estate to gut health and having our health as our wealth, being hyper-focused, making mental breakthroughs. It's really that place. It's the refueling station. And what is best? It's in the gorgeous Coeur d'Alene, Idaho at the resort right there on the lake. So you break free from the hustle of the metro areas so you can enjoy nature, walk on the beach because it's right there at the door, or take a trail run. So you're really able to break free and renew yourself completely.
Definitely looking forward to it. So folks, go to consciousinvestorgrowthsummit.com. Check it out. You'll see what we're talking about. And Julie has some incredible discounts going on for our community. So if you use my first name, Dallon, D-A-L-L-O-N, as a promo code, you'll see those incredible offers that she has for you. Awesome. Thanks, Julie. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks and we'll get back to our show. Excellent. Welcome back to the Millionaire Mind. So Jennifer, share with us a little bit about what that leap of faith was like and really what people don't just leave their jobs, right? Oh. So this was obviously something you just shared with us, some of the frustrations you were experiencing. At what point were you like, okay, I'm going to do it. And you believed in yourself. You had the confidence enough to actually make that jump.
Yeah, I would say about 10 years into my career, working for full service advertising agencies, I started to kind of have the bug of like, I kind of got that entrepreneurial bug where I was like, should I just start my own thing and do it my way? And I don't know if you're familiar, but I was at Lane Terra Lever prior to my last agency. And when I left there, I almost went into business with my old boss, who was 20 years my senior, and we almost started our own thing then. She's from Salt Lake City and got a really good offer to move back there. And then I ended up getting a good offer from another agency. And I was like, you know what, I think I need a little bit more work experience under my belt. So went there, led the PR department for another 4 to 5 years. And just candidly, I was at a point in my life where I was turning 35 and I was like, you know what, if I don't do it now, like when am I ever going to do it? I was single, no kids. I didn't have a lot of obviously like people depending on me financially. So it was basically just me with taking on the risk. And so, yeah, I walked away from a very healthy salary, full benefits, a full team of people. I was leading a PR department of about 6 people that reported to me in a full service agency, had support and resources in terms of like software and all the things that were provided at the agency. But I was just at a point where I'm like, if I don't do it now, maybe we'll never do it or I'll never have this opportunity again. So that was March of 2019. Where I walked away from it all. My team and the company were super supportive, which was great. And I just left on a Friday and on a Monday, completely started from scratch with literally nothing more than a drive and a dream to do it my own way. And I've never looked back. It's honestly been the best decision I've ever made in my entire life to start my own firm. I mean, granted, there are challenges as a business owner and definite learnings along the way, but it is honestly, I feel like it's like my identity is being a business owner, and I can't imagine ever working for someone again.
On a side note here, you mentioned that you started in 2019, and 2020 will obviously be a year that goes down in history for people. Yes. And you mentioned at the start of our podcast that you were in business 5 years, and my mind was just like, holy shit, like that was 5 years ago. Like it seems so recent. Yes. Where that time and era, everything went down. But what an awesome experience being 5 years in business and just having that faith to take that leap. It is not an easy thing to do. And I know for me, that first 6 to 12 months, I had to basically redefine myself, my values, my mind. Like there was so much work I had to do on myself that I wasn't prepared for. Mm-hmm. And so what were some of those biggest challenges that you experienced by starting and launching your business, especially in that first year?
Yeah. Honestly, immediately, I won't say it was easy. There was a lot of things that I had to learn as a business owner, like running the business side of things. The PR side of things was easy for me, and getting new clients, knock on wood, was easy because I was constantly pursuing new business as part of the agency. So I knew how to do that piece of it. And as soon as I let people know that I was leaving and starting my own firm, I had so many referrals, which is amazing. I'm so grateful for all the people that have wanted to follow me on this journey and have referred me clients. And really, we grew very, very quickly without really having to pound the pavement at all, which I don't think is typical. So immediately right out of the gate, I had a lot of clients. It was a very short period of time before I was making more money than I was making at my last agency job. So I won't say it was easy, but it was, I thought I may have to take a pay cut, and like, how long am I going to have to survive on a lot less money? And it was quite the opposite. Wow. Right out of the gate. So we're very blessed in that way. I will say that a huge challenge came a year into running the business. We had built up our restaurant clients very quickly. One of our biggest restaurant clients to this day is Maple and Ash, which we love. And they've pretty much been with me since the beginning of starting my own firm. But through doing good work for them and having a lot of restaurant experience in the past, we just kind of word of mouth grew our restaurant roster fairly quickly. And so when COVID hit about a year later into running the business, as you can imagine, we were hit very early and hard by COVID because we had a lot of restaurant clients. And I feel like they were some of the first that really felt the impacts of it, with having to shut down, shift to takeout, if they could, lay people off, furlough people. And so it was challenging as a new business owner. Like, I was very blessed in the first year, and that quickly all went away within the span of a month. Maybe clients were calling us and saying, you know, I'm so sorry, but like, we have to pause PR. We can't afford you right now. And it was really a crossroads for me of like, what do I do about the business? Yeah. And I felt very passionately about staying on with my clients, even though that they couldn't pay us. So we just stayed on pro bono and helped them, and helped with key messaging and crisis communications, and helped them come up with creative ideas in terms of ways to pivot and like creative promotions to keep them afloat. And it was a hard few months. And I remember when my last restaurant client called me, I had one that was just kind of like the last one to pull the plug. And the last one called, and I just remember like having a breakdown in my kitchen of like, oh my God, like, what are we going to do? And thankfully, through just staying on with them through goodwill and our willingness to kind of be in the trenches with them, they all came back. Most of them are still clients today. And after COVID, it was a good lesson to diversify, which I had already learned before at the agency. But it's hard when you just keep getting more of the clients that you love doing work in that industry. And so it was a good lesson to diversify and not just put all of our eggs in one basket in terms of restaurants. So now we're much more spread across different industries, like real estate, as I mentioned, retail, We still have a lot of restaurants and hospitality, which we love, but we do some stuff with travel and we're a little bit more spread out, which I think is a good plan.
Yeah. And it's hard because if that's where a lot of your business was coming from initially, like, why would you slow that down?
Right.
So I can't fault you for that. And maybe you were looking back and be like, oh, I should have diversified sooner, but we don't know what we don't know. And nobody was expecting or anticipating what happened in 2020. Right. But I think by the way you handled it and still working for these restaurants, I think it says a lot about who you are as a business owner and really the impact you're trying to make. And you shared, you said a lot of these restaurants came back and they're still your clients today. So looking back, that was probably a very hard thing to commit to because nobody wants to work for free. Let's be honest. Like, we don't mind helping out and serving when we can, but running your whole business pro bono,
yeah,
is probably a tough decision to make, but you did it because you had faith and belief in you and your team and these people that you were serving. But you also learned some valuable lessons from it as well. And that was to further diversify. So what were some of those steps, actions you took to further diversify after all that?
Yeah, I think just making more conscious decisions when it comes to new business. Like I said, we're very fortunate to have a lot of referrals and word of mouth. But rather than just taking everything that comes to us, not everything, obviously we're very particular about the people that we work with, but rather than just taking the things that are coming in to the pipeline, obviously being very proactive about the different types of industries that we also want to grow and different clients that we want to work with. So that's really where I got back to kind of my roots in real estate. And I've done a ton in real estate marketing and public relations and still have a passion for that. And so it was at that point that I really started focusing on growing our real estate roster. And now, and even with that, it's like the real estate market is very tumultuous as well. But it's a rare situation where it's like a COVID that affects every single industry at the same time. Not that it can't happen again, but it's a little bit more, I think, protected when you spread out across different industries. So yeah, I made a conscious decision then to pursue different verticals and continuing to do that essentially.
That's incredible. And one of the things I got to mention here, you and I were talking about it before we actually hit record. One of the biggest blessings and good things that came from you starting your own business was actually meeting your husband, right?
Yes. Yeah. I met my husband at a previous agency. He was director of digital media and I was director of public relations. So way before we ever started dating, we were coworkers and friends. And I shared with you, we never dated while we worked together. We were very much like separation and not even like interested in each other then. And he left before I did to go to a different company. And then about a year later, I started my own firm and he referred me a few clients. We collaborated on a couple clients once I was out on my own. And next thing you know, we reconnect and here we are newlyweds. So it's funny how things like that happen.
That's awesome. So Jennifer, for that person that might be feeling what you were feeling, wanting to start that entrepreneur journey, not sure when to like make that jump, what advice could you share with them?
I would honestly say start before you're ready. My only regret with starting my own firm is probably not doing it sooner. Like I said, I almost did it prior to going to the last agency. And I felt like, oh, I should get some more work experience under my belt. I'm still young. Like, who am I to start a company at this point kind of thing? And there were things that were intimidating to me about starting my own company in terms of like the health benefit side of things. Like, oh, what am I going to do about health insurance? Like all of that's covered for me right now. Or like accounting. I was an English major. So like math is not my forte. And I think those things, I was very particular about having all my ducks in a row before I got started, which in hindsight did really pay off for me. And maybe that's why the business was so successful right out of the gate. Like I had my LLC, like I had clients prior to like giving notice at my last agency. So I wasn't like literally quitting my job and starting from zero. I had built up kind of my side hustle and had some revenue already coming in. And so I did it in a very methodical and strategic way to the point of where I even bought a house with an office because I knew once I was self-employed, it'd be hard to get a loan and wanted to have like a dedicated office space. So like I did it in a very methodical and strategic way, which like I said, very much paid off for me. But I think a lot of business owners or people who are thinking about starting a business feel like they have to have it all figured out before they actually like pull the trigger. And I think there's a lot that you can't know until you actually start doing it. So like you can prepare as much as you want, but until you are a business owner and you're dealing with things on a day-to-day basis, there's no way to anticipate what you're going to need to know or those lessons that you're going to need to learn. And you just figure it out along the way. And like the things that were scary to me, now looking back, I'm like, health insurance is easy. Like, why was that like the holdup? You know what I mean? It's not that expensive and you can buy it for yourself very quickly. Like, it's just funny. Like the things I think back on now that I was like, that was my holdup.
It's interesting how our minds and our belief systems truly influence that. And same thing about the whole accounting. Hire a bookkeeper, hire a good CPA, and they'll take care of it for you. Mm-hmm. But we tend to find these things, we get comfortable. We get comfortable with where we're at. And looking back, do you think had you started at that 10-year mark when the first idea came and you had an opportunity to potentially start, do you have any regrets not starting then? Or do you,
I do think that everything worked out the way that it should. And I do think that entrepreneurship now with the younger generation is also very glorified. Mm-hmm. And like everyone thinks that they can be an entrepreneur with like no work experience under their belt. So I think there's a good balance. I think that if I didn't have the kind of work experience that I had, like 15 years or more of working for full service ad agencies, I wouldn't have had the experience or the frustrations or just the life knowledge to be able to run my own business. And so I do think that having work experience has really served me well. And if I had started my business very early on, I may not be where I'm at today. But I do think there's a balance of like, start a little bit before you're ready, or like the Martin Luther King quote of like, you can't see the whole staircase, just take the first step. I'm probably butchering that, but something in that vein. Like a lot of times you just learn by doing. And that would be my advice of just kind of start before you're ready and dip your foot in, and you don't really know until you do it.
You can read all the books you want about riding a bike or swimming or whatever the thing is, but until you actually do it, you won't be able to fully experience it. So I agree. At some point, you've just got to take that leap of faith. And it's different for everyone. And there's some people we've had on the show that say, I knew from a young kid, I could never work for anyone. And they didn't. And they bootstrapped their business from a young age, straight out of high school, college, struggled, failed, whatever the case is. And now they're running a very successful business. And then we have other business owners that have been on this podcast, much as yourself, that have really valued that experience that they gained for their years of working in corporate America. And here's the thing, they learned a lot of those valuable lessons without having to take on the risk themselves. And they were paid to do it.
Right.
It was paid learning, it was paid education. And so it was able to prep them to a point where they were comfortable making that jump. And it gave them the experience and the exposure in that industry to realize, hey, this piece is missing. Mm-hmm. I've been in this space for 10 to 15 years. This thing right here is missing. And I know I can do better.
Yes.
And I could create a business around it. And that's exactly what you were able to capitalize on. So I think that's important to share with our listeners, is that you don't, there's not one way to start a business. There's not one path that you have to be on to be a successful entrepreneur. And that's what I love about having different guests on the show, is that we get a diverse background of beginnings and starts. So absolutely incredible.
I was going to say too, I think you learn a lot of like what not to do from your work experience. You know, it's coming from the full service agency model, it's like all of my past employers had great offices, but those come with very expensive overhead and all kinds of culture perks like foosball tables and open bar on Fridays and team happy hours and all the things, which are great as an employee. But it comes at a very expensive price. And so we're running, and that ultimately gets passed along to the clients and what they're charging. So we run our firm very lean and mean. We're 100% remote. That was a choice I made even before COVID, which the people that work for me appreciate, because they're able to be more present for their families. We go to clients, we meet at coffee shops or the restaurants that we represent or whatever, and we pass along those cost savings to our clients in terms of affordable pricing. So we really learned like what not to do, and also not to overextend ourselves as a business. Some of the places where I worked before weren't even profitable, which is insane. Like, I can't imagine having a business and not being profitable. So just, some interesting life and business lessons that you learn through work experience.
100%. So let's take a couple minutes as we wrap this up to talk about the remote work, because this is a controversial subject with different business owners. So I want to get your take on it. It seems to be working well for you and your company. So what things have you implemented to enable this to still be an effective mode of working?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is when I started the firm, that was the intention, was to work from home, flexible schedule. One of my team members who's been with me from the very beginning as a mom, and she really obviously values being able to pick her daughter up from school to go to her dance competitions. And those are things, especially as a woman, that I feel strongly about enabling that family life balance. And so for me, like, I come from a place of where agencies value butts in seats, and there's a little bit of a lack of trust where if they can't see you working, like, are you really, or are you just taking off to go to the Phoenix Open for the day or whatever it may be? And so that was a conscious decision I made when I started my own firm, not only to keep the overhead low, but just to have more of that like work-life balance. And so, yeah, we use a number of tools, but I've never had an issue with it in terms of not having a physical office space. All of my team members are 100% remote. We use Slack to communicate frequently, along obviously with email and phone calls and Zooms, obviously. But yeah, we've never had an issue with it. It's super seamless. Like I said, we go to the clients' offices most times for meetings, or we meet them at a restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever, which is a nice change of scenery. And yeah, it works very well for us. And our team members really, really value it.
This is my thought on this. If you have the right team members, if you have the right employees, they're going to do the work. They believe in you. They believe in the vision, and they're responsible people. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, do you have deadlines? Are you like, hey, this project needs to be done by this time? I don't care when you work or how you do it. It just needs to be done by that time. Is that one of those?
Totally. Yeah. I don't dictate like how or when our team members work, as long as they get the work done and it's quality work. And I think giving people the autonomy is, I think, very appreciated. One of my biggest frustrations of working in an agency, and I was a leader at the agency, it was still like, get your time tracking in, like every 15 minutes has to be accounted for. Like, heaven forbid you take too long of a lunch, then you need to stay late. It's like, I don't think realistic. That's not how people work anymore.
Work prison.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. And it feels like there's no trust with your team members. And I don't care if someone wants to work late and take the afternoon off to go to a thing at their kid's school or whatever it may be. As long as the work gets done and our clients are happy, that's really all I care about.
And I think that instills a lot of good traits in your employees and people that are working for you as well. Because as business owners, I'm sure you've experienced this. I have. One of the reasons I got into business for myself was to have that flexible schedule for my family and for my four kids. And there's some days where they are a priority and we sit down, we have dinner, get the kids in bed. Then there's some nights where I'm up till 1 a.m. working on stuff because I have obligations that I need to meet for our clients, and there's deadlines that I need to make as a business owner. So I think inviting your employees into that world and giving them that autonomy, it empowers them. It gives them that ability to probably better understand what you as a business owner go through more frequently. So
yeah, super, and that's the other thing. I'm super transparent with our team members. You know, if there's a month where our revenue is down for whatever reason, like, I share that and share challenges that I'm having as a business owner. And I think just that kind of more transparent relationship with your team, I think team members really appreciate that, and also kind of makes them a little bit more understanding of your world and challenges you're facing as a business owner, and a little bit more in the trenches with you as well.
I love it. Well, Jennifer, we're coming up on time here, but what's next? What's upcoming? What's next for you and your organization?
We're thankfully in total growth mode. So we're very excited about the future. We, like I said, are coming up on our 5-year anniversary. So working on planning some sort of a celebration for that. And yeah, we're just continuing to grow the business in an intentional way. Like I said, kind of in the beginning, we took a lot of what was referred to us just out of, obviously, that's how business was coming in. And now I'm being very intentional about what clients we're taking on and making sure that they are good people and good brands and people that we think that we can really move the needle for and do good work for. And so, yeah, we're really excited about the future. And every year we're just growing exponentially. So can't complain.
What a neat position to be in, to have the ability to say no. If somebody doesn't align with your vision and or yours doesn't align with theirs, the ability to say no, that's a good place as a business owner to be in. So
yes, that's exciting. It really is a luxury to be able to be in that position. And we're really lucky that we have built a really good reputation for the firm very quickly. And this year we were actually ranked number one by Ranking Arizona for PR firms. That'll be coming out in March, which we're excited about. And so yeah, just some good stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, super exciting. Well, really appreciate you taking your time and just sharing your story with us. So it's empowering, it's energizing, it's motivational. So thank you for sharing that. And as we wrap things up here, there's four questions I like to ask every guest that's been on the show. And the first one being is, what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
Gosh, there's so many books that I love. I think there's two that I really like. Your Oxygen Mask First. I don't know if you've heard of that one. That's by Kevin Lawrence. That really talks about like, you have to be in a really good place yourself before you can like lead a team and have a team. Basically dumping that notion of like work-life balance and more focusing on like work and self and life all working together. Like I kind of think that work-life balance is a myth. There's no separation. Like my work is my life and my life is my work. And so that was a really good one that I read a long time ago, but I keep kind of coming back to that. And then I do like, I don't know if you know that book, You're a Badass. And then she also came out with Badass Habits that really talks about like living life on purpose, developing positive habits, making sure that you're in a good place when the opportunity strikes. I like stuff like that where it's a little woo-woo, not really like manifesting, but a little bit of like making sure you're being very intentional with the way that you're living your life and not just accepting what life hands to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Realize that things are happening for you, not to
you. Yes, 100%.
Recognize the opportunities. My belief is opportunities are around us every single day. And the reason we don't capitalize on them or see them is because we're not in the right mindset or we're not in the right frame of mind, if you will, to recognize and capitalize on those opportunities.
Yeah, 100%. And also seeing the lesson in things when things don't go your way, like what can you learn from that? A lot of times, like hindsight's 20/20, but if there's a client that I was really excited about that we were pitching and we didn't get, there's always a lesson in that. Or maybe what could we do better the next time? Yeah. Or maybe why we didn't get it. So I think just looking for those lessons is key.
Awesome. What has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
There's one that I love. It was actually my old agency had a quote, like a little quote board every day when you would walk in that our receptionist would put up a different quote every day. And I'll never forget the day that I came in to give my notice, which was actually also my anniversary. It was during my review. I walked in the front door and the quote was one day or day one. And that stuck with me ever since. It was just this like moment that I was like, oh my God, like this quote is for me. And like, I'm doing the right thing. And I continue to reference that because I think if you have a dream and you want to do it, there's no day like the present to start. And that's where I also, my advice for entrepreneurs or wannabe business owners is start before you're ready. Just take a step and you never know what can come from that or the lesson that you're going to learn. So
I've never met a business owner or entrepreneur that said that they regretted taking that step.
Yeah.
I haven't met one yet to this day. And these are people that have gone through hell and back, been beat up multiple times, and they still wouldn't have it any other way.
Yep.
So awesome.
Definitely in that boat.
So Jennifer, if there is one thing you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
I mean, I think that's what it is just to take action. Like you learn from taking action. And if there's something that you're insecure about, whether it's like accounting in my case or whatever, learn that. Like rather than going out and getting a bookkeeper right off the bat, like I got QuickBooks and I did it myself and I learned it so that I would have a general understanding. And I think insecurity comes from lack of knowledge. So I think really making an effort to learn, information is power. So like learning the things that you're insecure about really is going to help with your confidence and making you feel ready if you're feeling like you don't know where to start.
I agree. And it doesn't mean you have to be an expert in that area, but learn enough so that you can then effectively delegate or bring on the right person to help you further. So you got to enjoy the learning. Entrepreneurship, being a business owner, it's all about the journey and learning. So
yeah, and every day is different, like new level, new devil, they say. You know, it's like you think you know something and then you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, or like a lot of times like where your business is going to take you, and there's always things to be learning and new ways to grow.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Jennifer, how can our listeners learn more about you and the business?
Yeah. So we're adlerpublicrelations.com is our website, Adler Public Relations on Instagram and on LinkedIn. And then me personally, my handle is JenAdler27 on Instagram and LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Look, this has been an incredible conversation with Jennifer. And if this is your first time listening, I'm so glad that you tuned in. People have been asking me what my company does. So since I have you here listening to my show, I'll share that with you now. So my company partners with busy professionals, just like Jennifer, that are looking to experience significant tax savings, have more to invest, and even reinvest their hard-earned capital. And we work with other successful business owners like you by offering them opportunities to invest alongside us in large apartment deals. At Rev Equity Group, we have found that most successful business owners really have a strong desire to give and to serve. And we simply provide a vehicle to enable them to grow and preserve their wealth so they can give of their time and financial success more abundantly and freely. If you've been frustrated with the stock market, want to grow capital in something you can actually touch and see, and invest in one of the most recession-resilient asset classes, then you can find out how I could serve you by visiting investwithrev.com/resources. It can be overwhelming vetting the right investment and the right operator, but at Rev, we make apartment investing easy. Jennifer, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, taking time out of your day to share about your incredible journey. And thanks for opening up. Like, there's a lot of cool things you shared in there, a lot of gold nuggets that I know will be of extreme value to our listeners. So really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And to our listeners, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there and earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.